Brothers and sisters in Christ, I know many of us this weekend feel a bit frustrated and perhaps in disbelief about the stay-at-home order being extended yet once again. We can feel powerless in being told to stay home at home and feel powerless to do anything about imprudent decisions that have forced the healthy to self-isolate while the most vulnerable to this virus, such as our beloved elderly in nursing homes, were exposed to even greater risk. We can feel exasperated at the toxic vitriol to which we are exposed when using the only social mediums by which we can have any sense of community with the outside world. We can feel saddened at the inadequate attention to the unhealthy downstream ripple effects that this extended stay-at-home order is having on people's mental health and well-being, evidenced by the huge spike in suicide attempts and so many people falling into addiction during this last month, as well as the unhealthy ripple effects on people's physical health too, particularly those whose lives have been potentially shortened due to limited medical services, the missed cancer and other diagnoses that come from routine checkups, and people's treatments and procedures having been placed on hold. We can feel hurt by people who wantonly hurl disparaging remarks that we don't care about the lives of the people who are suffering from the coronavirus simply because we express concern for the lives of these others who suffer in a different way. And so please, in discussing what is best for the common good, we should not assume that people with differing opinions from ours wish either the death of other people or the ruin of their livelihood. Unless proven otherwise, we should assume good intent when we encounter differing opinions, because this is no longer a debate about people's health versus the economy. It's not an either-or issue. This is about people's health and the lives that are in the balance. And the state of the economy does play a role in the lives that are endangered. Of course, the coronavirus is going to have negative effects on people's health and causing deaths in the tens of thousands now in our nation, approaching 100,000, I think. But so too are an extended stay-at-home order and the myriad of ripple effects that are impossible to fully take into account. And among the people who will suffer most and are most endangered from this extended stay-at-home order are the poor, who do not have as many resources and options to weather through these times. Along with the victims of this virus and the personnel in the front lines that care for them, let's especially keep the poor in mind and in prayer and lend a helping hand to those poor that are close to you. And so I would make an appeal to everyone, no matter their sentiments regarding the best way to move forward, to have a deeper regard for one another. You know, a deeper respect for one another doesn't mean not working for the change that we believe is needed in our state's leadership and approach to all of this. But it does mean doing so with greater charity. So I appeal to you to be more charitable with everyone with whom you interact. And let's care about human lives all around, not just a specific subset of people. Love one another, Jesus says. In other words, will the good of the people with whom you communicate, desire the good, their good, and act in accord with that desire. And I preach that to myself just as much as to everyone else. Today, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord into heaven, when the resurrected Jesus would spend his last moments on earth before rejoining his heavenly Father unto eternity. And for those first disciples, Jesus' ascension also kicked off a time of waiting and discerning about next steps. Right? They knew what they had to do because the last thing Jesus did was to give them their marching orders. Right? Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Those were Jesus' marching orders, but they had to be asking themselves, how exactly are we going to accomplish such a Herculean task as evangelizing the whole world? And how was Jesus going to be with us always until the very end if he was now physically ascending into heaven? I mean, he did say that he was going up to God the Father so he could send the Advocate, his Holy Spirit, to be with us. You know, but that moment had yet to come. And so the disciples had to be wondering, what does that even mean, that he would send the Holy Spirit to empower us and tell us everything that we need to know and enable us to do the very works that Jesus did, right? So this time between the ascension and Pentecost, when the Spirit would descend upon them with that divine power and cause them initially to be in like this trance-like state, people thought they were drunk, right? We'll hear about that next weekend. But that was yet to come. But until then, it was at this time of uncertainty, a time of waiting and praying. They would spend much time in isolation as well, in that upper room, praying for greater clarity as to when and how they would receive this Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. So I would encourage each of you, as we await next weekend's solemnity of Pentecost, when public masses will commence, that during this extended stay-at-home order and this last part of it, well, 2 more weeks actually, to stir into flame the life of the Holy Spirit that was bestowed upon you at your baptism and confirmation. For many Catholics, this Holy Spirit is latent. Even for me as a priest, the power of the Holy Spirit is very much underutilized in my own life. Jesus' own desire to live in and through me is stronger, much stronger, infinitely stronger, than my desire for him to live in and through me. But prayer is what can help increase both our desire and our capacity to receive all that Jesus wants to give us through the Holy Spirit. And you may ask, what does Jesus want to give us through the Holy Spirit? And to that I say, everything. Everything. He wants to give us everything because he wants to give us himself, who is the very source of all things good, true, and beautiful. As Scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. And if that's true, in him we live and move and have our being, then also as true is Jesus' claim, without me you can do nothing. So the Lord wants us to have life, his life, and to have it abundantly through this experience of the very life of the Holy Spirit living in and through us. Without him, we couldn't even exist, right? And as part of that abundant life he wants to give us are two types of things: the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we can't go over all the gifts and all the fruits now, but I invite you to join the online opportunities we have in this coming week. Each day this week, we will go over one gift of the Holy Spirit and one fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you that if you integrate and possess these gifts and cultivate these fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life, they're precisely what we as individuals and we as a society need in much greater measure in order not only to survive this pandemic and stay at home order, but to thrive and grow during this time. That is what cannot be taken away from us. So each day this week, we will cover and pray for one gift of the Holy Spirit during our 9 p.m. praying with the Padres on our parish Facebook page after we pray the rosary. But we will also post each day a reflection on one fruit of the Holy Spirit. The diocese asked 9 of us clergy in the diocese to do a 5-minute reflection on the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you can catch, there's been a couple already posted on our parish Facebook page. But use that to prayerfully listen to it and then ask prayerfully for the Holy Spirit to make that gift manifest in you, or that fruit to be cultivated in you. And so in order to give you a sneak preview in these last 3 minutes of today's homily, I want to share with you the first part of my reflection on the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I was assigned. And that is the fruit of patience. I actually brought up one of my favorite singers, Nora Jones, that sang a Guns N' Roses song, a cover song early on during this pandemic on March 19th. And one of the lines states is, all we need is just a little patience, right? How prophetic those words were, as here we are over 2 months later. And all we need is just a little patience, right? Well, what is patience? It comes from the same Latin root from which we get the word patient, which means suffering. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because a patient is someone who is suffering from something, or else they wouldn't be seeing a doctor, right? So the dictionary definition of patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate suffering, trouble, or delay without getting angry or upset, right? So a good synonym for patience is forbearance. Forbearance. In other words, patience is the ability not to lose it when you undergo hardship or when things don't go your way. And things aren't going their way for a lot of folks right now, are they? People are undergoing hardship of various kinds during this pandemic. And so patience is the power to endure these things without losing our peace, right? That's the first thing Jesus said after the resurrection to his disciples, shalom, peace. Peace be with you. He repeated it, right? Again and again, so that we would realize what he was trying to give us. How many of us could use a little more of that peace? I know I can. In fact, I told the diocese, I'm not so sure if I'm qualified to give this talk about patience because I need a lot more of it, right? So patience is a virtue, and the Holy Spirit wants to give that to us. The good news is that the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that. And the way that he helps us with that is by perfecting our own natural capacity to exercise patience and endure hardship. In other words, the Holy Spirit fills up the patience that is wanting within us, purifying and perfecting our present capacity to endure hardship with grace. So on a practical level, how is patience helpful to us? Well, you know, suffering, the troubles in our life, and our inability to tolerate them, those really cloud our judgment. And they affect our actions towards the negative, right? Our inability to endure suffering and troubles can often lead us to unhealthy ways of coping, such as substance abuse or addictive habits. If we don't have patience, we can too often be willing to do anything that gets us out of that suffering or out of those troubles and delays. Even if our actions would be imprudent or uncharitable, without patience, we can be all too willing to do whatever that unwise or hurtful thing is, just as long as it gets us out of whatever suffering that we're going through, or whatever troubles or delays are plaguing us. And so our selfish actions then hurt the people around us and even the people that we love. So our ability to tolerate hardship and troubles, it doesn't mean we don't do anything to get out of that suffering and those troubles, but it means we can approach it with a much clearer head and do the right thing instead, right? So having patience, that forbearance to endure hardship, helps us to make better decisions and do the right thing. Patience helps us to better love those around us. After all, as St. Paul reminds us, love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, it endures all things. Imagine how relationships with our family members, our friends, our coworkers, how those would improve if we were able to better bear with the troubles they cause and thus not have as many blow-ups or hurtful remarks that we would later deeply regret, and instead come up with more productive steps forward. And imagine if the discipline we gave our children didn't come across as an angry, knee-jerk reaction, but instead they saw by the look in our eyes and the tone of our voice that we were truly acting for their good. Imagine if suffering and difficulties didn't cause us to give up on our dreams so soon. Imagine if we could think with that clearer head when undergoing suffering or pain. These are just some of the interrelational and personal benefits that come with greater patience. So for the rest of the reflection, you'll just have to tune in later on. But in short, it's living the life of the Holy Spirit so that we're not left simply to our own devices, but we have the very power of God animating our life. That's the way we get a little more of that patience. All we need is patience. Yeah.